Let's now turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We'll also be looking in Belgian Confession, Article 37, in just a moment. But first, let's read from Matthew 24. And we'll start reading then at verse 29. Matthew 24, that's found on page 986 in our black pew Bibles. Matthew 24, starting then at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And that's as far as reading from Matthew 24. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at these verses together in just a moment. But first, let's read from Belgic Confession, Article 37. Here at the conclusion of the Belgic Confession, Article 37, called The Last Judgment. That's page 870. Belgian Confession, Article 37. We'll be reading about half of this. Finally, we believe, according to God's word, that when the time appointed by the Lord is come, which is unknown to all creatures, and the number of the elect is complete, our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven, bodily and visibly, as he ascended with great glory and majesty to declare himself the judge of the living and the dead. He will burn this old world in fire and flame in order to cleanse it. Then all human creatures will appear in person before that great judge, men, women, and children, who have lived from the beginning until the end of the world. They will be summoned there by the voice of the archangel and by the sound of the divine trumpet. For all those who died before that time will be raised from the earth, their spirits being joined and united with their own bodies in which they lived. And as for those who are still alive, they will not die like the others, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible. And then jumping down there to the third from last paragraph. In contrast, the faithful and elect will be crowned with glory and honor. The Son of God will confess their names before God, his Father, and the holy and elect angels. All tears will be wiped from their eyes, and their cause, at present condemned as heretical and evil by many judges and civil officers, will be acknowledged as the cause of the Son of God. And as a gracious reward, the Lord will make them possess a glory such as the heart of man could never imagine. So we look forward to that great day with longing, in order to enjoy fully the promises of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, endings are bittersweet. Perhaps you've been watching your favorite movie with your family, or you're getting close to the climax. You know that the end is impending, and you are sad to see something that you are enjoying come to a conclusion. But what if the ending was just the beginning? What if after the ending, something began which never ends? Today we come not only to the end of our series through the Belgic Confession, we come to the end of all things. A popular song back in the 90s by Crystal Lewis put it like this: people get ready, Jesus is coming, soon we'll be going home. This is true. Jesus is coming, get ready, soon we'll be going home. Everything that is hidden will be revealed. The wicked will be judged, the righteous will be vindicated. That which was lost will be restored. Those who are gone will be brought back. As we consider the end of all things, it's important that we avoid a speculation, but we can clearly delineate, we can clearly describe that which Christ has given us in his word. We don't need to be afraid of talking about the end things, because Jesus Christ clearly tells us what is going to happen. In fact, we can learn from Daniel that already in the Old Testament, the saints were promised a day of judgment when the dead will be raised and there will be a future life of glory provided for those who have looked forward to the return of the Son of Man. So this morning we look at this theme: Jesus Christ reveals that he is coming to judge the world at the end of time. Jesus Christ is going to come back to judge the world at the end of time. In the first point, then, we look at the timing of this judgment. When will Jesus Christ come back to judge the living and the dead? Going back to that earlier illustration, if you're watching a movie with your family and one of your children needs to get up to use the bathroom, you can hit pause and you can see right on the screen this much time is remaining. And for some of us older members, we remember watching TV when it was a broadcast, you knew that when the new hour came, the show had to be done. Everything had to be concluded by the end of the hour. Well, what about the return of Jesus Christ? We know that his coming is certain, but do we know when? It is a specific time, to be sure, a time of fulfillment, the time that the Father has set. But unlike watching a movie, it is impossible for us to know exactly how much time is left until the end arrives. We read this earlier in Matthew 24, verse 44. Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. His coming back will be unexpected, and it will, in fact, catch many unprepared. And again, Matthew 24, verse 36. No one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven. So the time remaining from now until Jesus Christ returns remains a time that is unknown to us as creatures. This is a good reminder, particularly when there are events going on in the Middle East, that we cannot use the events that are going on in the Middle East, for example, the war that's going on in Gaza, to be a historical marker to pin a date on the calendar. No, as we find here in Scripture, the timing of his return remains hidden to us and secret. But the unknown timing of Christ's return should not lead us to believe that he is not coming. The delay in his return is not indicating that he will not return. In fact, his return is certain. It will be like the days of Noah, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 38. When Jesus Christ comes back, people will be eating and drinking. They'll be going to weddings. They'll be going to funerals. people will be going on as they always have. They will be thinking things are fine. Nothing has changed. They'll be doing their daily normal routine. They'll be going to work or they'll be going to sleep. But then suddenly Jesus Christ will appear. The thief in the night, as verse 44 says, it will be unexpected. Jesus is not going to send a postcard. He's not going to send a message saying, get ready, I'm on my way. He has already sent a message, recorded that in his word, saying that I am coming and I am coming soon. Behold, I stand at the door. Verse 33. Near, at the very gates. Jesus Christ's return is near, it is soon, and it is impending. There is nothing else in redemptive history that needs to take place except for the spreading of the gospel to all nations. Everything that Jesus needed to do in order to prepare for his return has been accomplished and completed. Now remember, what did Jesus have to do before he could return? Well, he had to come his first time, the first advent. He had to suffer humiliation. He had to be crucified, dead, and buried. He needed to rise on the third day. He needed to ascend into glory, from which he is right now reigning at the Father's right hand. We are currently in the millennial reign of Christ, where he is seated at his Father's right hand, ruling over all. And this is the last redemptive historical event that is preparing us for his coming back. So the return of Jesus Christ is near. It is impending because Christ must reign until he returns and restores everything to his heavenly Father. So his return is near, but it is not yet. It is not yet, or it hasn't yet happened, because our God is incredibly patient. The delay in the return of Jesus Christ is a delay for the good of humanity. He has not yet come back because he is giving lost rebels time to repent. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, so he is waiting to come back to give people time to repent and believe and to flee the coming wrath. For his arrival will be sudden, without warning, and it will be final. When that last moment arrives, the gospel proclamation by which sinners are brought from a state of condemnation into a state of reconciliation with God. That timing, when the gospel goes forth and people can flee the coming wrath, that time comes to an end. There will be no time to repent and believe after Jesus Christ returns. That stage in history will be concluded. The number of the elect will be complete. In other words, Jesus Christ's return will not be a progressive event. It is a one-time complete event. The judge of the earth will arrive when the timing is just right and the Father's promises will be fulfilled. Since this is the case, what kind of people should we be? That's basically what Peter says in 2 Peter 3. Knowing that you are living in the last days, you are living in the age of the Spirit, post-Pentecost. You are living after Pentecost, while Jesus Christ is reigning, and before Jesus Christ returns. That is the age in history in which we live. His coming back is soon, it is impending, and it is final. It will happen suddenly, unexpected. There is nothing that is going to take place in history on the pages of the newspaper that are going to tell you that his return is impending, because it already is. The signs of the time have already taken place. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, these things have already happened. So going back to Peter, what kind of people ought you to be? How ought you to live? Maybe I'll illustrate this way. Children, let's say your mom and dad are going to go on a date. They're going to go out for dinner. And they say to you, little one, while mom and dad are gone, I expect you to clean your room. Your parents aren't going to tell you when they are coming back. They're not going to call you on the phone when they are in the driveway. Your parents say to you, little one, you have this job to do, and it better be done by the time I get home. How do you process that information? Do you wait until the very last moment to try to quick get it done before your mom and dad arrive? The problem is you don't know when that's going to happen. How do you relate to your siblings in the interim? If you know that mom and dad could burst in the door at any moment, are you going to be fighting and bickering and hollering? Or are you going to be ready? In a similar way, Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back soon. How ought we to live? We ought to be prepared, right? We ought to be ready. The unknown time of his arrival spurs us on in faithful obedience while we live with expectation. One of the reasons God doesn't tell us the exact day when Jesus Christ is going to come back, let's imagine he would say, Jesus Christ is going to come back in the year 2027. You would know you have a 3-year window approximately in which you could do whatever you want to, and then you would repent the day before he returns, right? That's how wicked human minds process that information. But since we don't know, we have to live in the expectation that today might be the last day. You don't want to be like the wicked servant of verse 49 who used the delay as grounds for rebellion. Rather be ready. When Jesus Christ comes back, don't you want him to see you obeying him, living obediently? Surely we all do. So as that song says, people get ready. Jesus is coming. He's coming at an hour that you don't expect it. Well, now that we've looked at the timing of Jesus Christ's return, in our second point, we're going to look at the manner in which he returns. What is his return like? What it's going to be like? When Jesus Christ comes back, he is going to come back in physical flesh. We find this in Acts chapter 1, where after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were standing on the mountain looking up to heaven, trying to figure out what's going on, or should they be waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. And the angels said to the disciples, in the same way you saw him go, he will return. Jesus Christ left with his hands raised, blessing his people with the eternal benediction, and Jesus Christ will come back continuing that process, right, with his hands raised, blessing his people, and it's going to be a physical return in the flesh. It will be a visible return. It will be seen by all. We find this in Matthew 24, verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will be in the clouds. It will flash in the heavens, like lightning lighting up the sky from one end of the earth to the other. In other words, the return of Jesus Christ will not be secret. It will not be hidden. It will not be a private event. And no one will miss out. Perhaps some of you this past week saw on the news there were the Northern Lights beautiful display. Beautiful to behold. But as hard as I tried, I could not see it. I went outside and I looked repeatedly. It was a visible event that sent my sisters in Michigan. She sent me beautiful pictures. I missed it. I couldn't see it. This will not happen with the return of Jesus Christ. No one is going to say, oh, I wish I would have saw that. Every eye will see. And every ear will hear. Verse 31 says that the angel will blast a loud trumpet call. The voice of the archangel will be heard, and every ear will hear. So it will be seen, it will be heard, and it will be an event that we all participate in. Jesus Christ is going to send out his angels, and he's going to gather his people from the four corners of the earth. No one is going to miss out. And we will see our elder brother, who shares our flesh, descending on the clouds with power and great glory. That's verse 30. The one who took on our flesh by way of his incarnation, the one who is your elder brother, the one who is your perfect prophet, priest, and king, the one who is going to sit on the white throne judging the living and the dead, is the one who has already taken your place on the cross. And when you see your Savior's face, there will be a recognition. He will see you and you will see him, and you will know that this is the one you have been waiting for. It will be a glorious day. One application I want to remind you of this truth is that Jesus' return will be a victorious event. And you can have confidence in this, that what he promised to do, he will do. The promises that the Father has given to us in his word find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. Now, many of these promises have already been fulfilled, but there's a category of promises that have not yet been fulfilled. And when Jesus Christ comes back, every single one of those promises will be yes and amen. All of his enemies will be cast out. And his people who have loved and feared him below will be vindicated. All will be made right with this world. So when Jesus Christ comes back, finally our third point, what is the work that he's going to perform? There are two main works that we're going to consider. The first work that Jesus is going to perform relates to the change that he will bring in this created order. The creation itself will enjoy the fruits of Christ's redemptive work. As it stands, Scripture says that our creation is in birth pain. Our creation is in the pain of labor. Our creation is eagerly waiting for the day that Christ comes back, because our creation itself will enjoy the benefits of Christ's redemptive work. In the past, the days of Noah, our God cleansed the earth with water. In the day to come, our God will cleanse the earth with fire. Belgian Confession 37 says he will burn this old world in fire in order to cleanse it. Now, this cleansing of fire, the melting of the elements, will do two things. It will remove anything that is wicked, anything that is polluted, anything that is the consequence of the curse, think thorns, thistles, death in creation, will be done away with, removed. And those works that were performed in faith, the works performed by God's people in this world, will be purified, will be cleansed, will be made right and perfect. And then heaven itself will come down. We talk about the new heaven and the new earth. What is currently now hidden from our view, the heavenly Jerusalem, will come down and be established on this earth. And God will dwell on earth with man for all eternity. We won't need the light of the sun, moon, and stars. For the temple, God himself will be our light. So the first thing that Jesus Christ will do is he will make everything right in the created order. The second aspect of Jesus' work relates to his judging of humanity. Belgian Confession Article 37 really spends the majority of its the second half that we skipped over unfolding this event. What will happen to humanity is this. When Jesus Christ comes back, the first thing that will happen is those who are dead will be raised. There will be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. All people from Adam unto the last baby conceived before Jesus Christ comes back, everyone who has died will be raised. And then all humanity will meet together before the white throne. We'll meet in the air. Jesus Christ will take his seat on that white throne and he will start making divisions, separations. He will put his sheep on his right and he will put the goats on the left. He will divide humanity into two groups. Those who have loved him, those who in the Old Testament look forward to the arrival of the Messiah, and those in the New Testament who place their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ, will be assembled on Christ's right hand. And he will say to these, his people, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Welcome into the joy that I have prepared for you. Welcome into the glory that my Father has reserved for you. Welcome to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Because they will be raised and glorified, and they will receive a perfected body. There will be no more weeping, no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death. It will be a glorious resurrection reunion. Those who died will be raised and glorified. Those who were living when Christ comes back will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And God's righteous people will be vindicated for all to see. They will shine like stars, living in his glorious presence. Matthew 24, verse 47 puts it like this: "Blessed are you, and they will be set over all of the master's possessions." Or Revelation 21, "Those who have trusted in the Lord will be welcomed into eternal glory." This is what's in store for God's people who have served and loved him here below. Crowned with glory and honor, our article says, made like Christ's glorious body. But not so the wicked. Those who are on the left, those who are the goats, they too will be resurrected. They too will receive new bodies. But the bodies that they receive will be perfected for suffering. They will receive eternal bodies. They can't die. But what they receive in those bodies, in the flesh, is said to be a weeping, a gnashing of teeth, where fire doesn't ever consume, it just burns. Where worms continue to feast on their flesh for all eternity. Jesus will say to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Our passage, verse 51, "They will be cut into pieces, and their place will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth." The rebel who refused to love the Lord while they lived on earth below will be cast out into outer darkness or everlasting judgment. In this way, all humanity will be judged. Since this is the case, which side do you want to be on? What side of Jesus Christ would you like to be found on that day? Let me be abundantly clear, it is not about what you do. It is about the one in whom you believe. It's trusting in Christ with all your heart. And if you do, if you have a childlike faith that believes and looks forward to Jesus Christ come back, then you are a sheep and there is nothing to fear. In fact, the future judgment, the return of Jesus Christ, should be a topic of great expectation and joy. Belgic Confession 37, "It is a pleasant and comforting day." For those of us who already know who the just judge is, and we already know the verdict, the return of Jesus Christ should not fill us with worry and anxiety. Rather, we simply know Jesus Christ is coming back to make visible what is already true. I am already right with God, an heir to life everlasting. Jesus is simply going to make visible, physical, what is already spiritual. The extent of our joy and expectation should grow in our lives as we look forward to this great and awesome day. To conclude, the ultimate end of the age is a topic that should not fill us with fear, because we've already been rescued. The return of Jesus Christ is simply our vindication. The enemies will be cast out. The devil, his angels, even death will be cast into the bottomless pit. This world and whatever is affected by sin will be purged and cleansed. And we who already live in Christ will be victorious. So we can say and will say on that day, I'm quoting here from Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 9. "Behold, this is our God, and we have waited for him, that he might save us. So let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." That was written by Isaiah, Isaiah 25. "This is our God. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Or as John concluded his letter, "Come, Lord Jesus. Amen." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful reminder of the promises that are ours and the victory that has been secured. We do pray, O Lord, that our hearts would be filled with joyful expectation as our faith will be made sight. Until then, keep us patient and obedient. And when the master of the house returns, let us be found as faithful servants doing the master's labor, as we long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful ones. Enter into my Father's glory." We thank you for the victory of Christ, and we look forward to his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.